Hagen concludes, we must be aware lest the darkness of society becomes reflected in our acts and attitudes, perhaps all unconsciously. Love for each other, the deep sense that we are an organism, the dawn breakers of a new world order, must constantly animate our Baha'i lives, and we must pray to be protected from the contamination of society.
Yes, indeed. In answer to a letter from an American Baha'i about the apparent need for more spiritually enlightened souls to set the example, our beloved guardian secretary wrote on his behalf these words: "This has been for long the earnest prayer of Shoghi Effendi, but for some reason or other it just doesn't seem to be realized. It may be because we have failed to do our best in living the life and promoting the message to the best of our ability. We have first to create the material with which we have to work, and then hope to succeed." So you see, there can be little doubt in the face of all these wonderful words that we've heard that our lives as Baha'is are the basic material of all our success.
Well, I honestly don't think that the great majority of the believers think of teaching in that way.
No, I'm afraid not. But until we do, we can't succeed. That's quite clear.
I've just realized that living the life is the only ultimate measure of success.
Right. Arise to teach, supported by Baha'i life. Teach, live the life, and the world is ours. I didn't say that. The Master did, didn't he, Tony?
Yes, Bill. In these words, the cause of God will advance only through the effort of teaching, and the friends will achieve the victory through the holy fragrances. Where there are a number of souls to arise, opening their tongues and delivering the message with the utmost severance, sanctification and holiness, and power of attraction, the powers of the world would not withstand them, and the hosts of the earth would not prevent them from accomplishing their task.
If we see a man acting after this manner, the Master tells us, we can say he is a Baha'i. If such deeds do not appear in him, he is a Baha'i in name only. If we claim to be followers of the light, we must diffuse the light through our actions. The name will not be sufficient.
Bill, I think one of the most beautiful statements of the beloved Master is the one about changing the stony hearts of men into jewels.
Yes, Bob, would you share that one with us?
O ye believers of God, do ye not look upon the smallness of your numbers and the multitudes of the nations? One fruitful tree will be conducive to the life of society, whereas a thousand forests of unproductive trees will offer no fruits. The plain is covered with pebbles, but precious stones are rare. One pearl is better than a thousand wildernesses of sand, especially this pearl of great price.
And our true Baha'i lives are the pearls of great price. I'm sorry, Bob.
This pearl of great price is endowed with divine blessings. Ere long, thousands of other pearls will be born from it. When that pearl associates and becomes the intimate of the pebbles, they also all change into pearls.
Oh, that's very beautiful.
It is indeed. And now, just two more brief quotations from Shoghi Effendi on the vital importance of our personal lives in the success of teaching. Then we'll turn to the most moving words of all, those of Baha'u'llah. Our beloved guardian writes, if we relax in our purpose, if we neglect the varied opportunities given us from time to time to live the Baha'i life and demonstrate it, we are not merely failing in what is our most vital and conspicuous obligation, but are thereby insensibly retarding the flow of those quickening energies which can alone ensure the vigorous and speedy development of God's struggling faith. And this final loving guidance from our beloved guardian.
As material affairs go from bad to worse in the world, the confidence, optimism, love, and hope of the believers will, by force of contrast, shine out as an ever brighter beacon, leading the people to the path of truth, the way laid down by God, which alone can guide them into the promise of the future. The characteristics of the Baha'is will be that which captures the attention of their citizens.
Just one more, Bill?
Yes, of course, Bob, with pleasure. For certainly there's no subject spoken of more forcefully or often in all of our writings. And how is it that we haven't seen it clearly before and arisen with courage and conviction to first change ourselves and then with that onrushing help of God to change all men? What is it that the beloved guardian said you'd like to share with us, Bob?
When the Baha'is permit the dark forces of the world to enter into their own relationships within the faith, they gravely jeopardize its progress. Mm-hmm. It is the paramount duty of the believers, the local assemblies, the national assemblies, to foster harmony, understanding, and love amongst the friends. All should be ready and willing to set aside every personal sense of grievance, justified or unjustified, for the good of the cause. Because people will never embrace it. People will never embrace it until they see in its community life mirrored what is so conspicuously lacking in the world. Love and unity.
Beautiful. Question. Does anyone doubt for a moment that the most important thing is to live the life?
Answer. Nauru.
Yes. Which freely translated is no. Oh, it's wonderful. Yes.
Well, let's... All right. I'm deeply, deeply grateful for this study class. It certainly penetrates right to the heart of the reason why we became Baha'is.
Right. Yes.
As a matter of fact, to the very reason we were created by God in the first place.
And more important, I think, even, we learn how to be happy in this unhappy world. For when a man is out of touch with God, he is living more in the animal world than the human world. But when he's in touch with God, he's serene and tranquil and at peace with himself, inwardly untroubled. What is it the Master says about this, Tony?
Abdu'l-Bahá writes, "A material man lets himself be wearied and harassed by little things, but a spiritual man is always calm and serene under all circumstances."
Lovely.
All this is really the story of the personal search for the Holy Grail all over again, isn't it?
Yes.
And every human heart longs for such a miracle, to be such a person, to find such a treasure.
Yes, all of us. The Master also wrote, "No man can be happy without God, though he may not know why he is miserable." Well, beloved friends, the truth is, man wasn't created by Almighty God and placed on this earth just to let his animal nature dominate him. Man is a noble being, the highest creation of God. We were not destined to be drunkards, dope addicts, criminals, perverts, prejudiced haters of our fellow men, liars, cheats, and tyrants. And yet look at the condition of the world. It's the despair of its leaders, religious and secular alike. In the midst of the increasing darkness and degradation are thousands of souls hungering for something better, longing for the sweet-smelling fragrances of holiness. Believe me, the Master said so, Baha'u'llah said so, the beloved guardian said so, and Baha'u'llah is their only hope. We are their only hope. Now either we'll arise and become these loved ones of Baha'u'llah, or we too shall be rolled up with the old, discarded, tottering, useless order of the past. Baha'u'llah himself writes, "A race of men incomparable in character shall be raised up, who with the feet of detachment will tread under all who are in heaven and on earth, and will cast the sleeve of holiness over all that hath been created from water and clay." Beloved friends, are we that race of men? Will we seize our chance before it's too late?
I sincerely hope that we are. The time has come, certainly, for us to make every effort.
We have to change. We're always wanting to change the world, and the sad truth is we'll have to change ourselves first.
But that's not a sad truth. That's a happy truth. You know, imagine the bounty we have. We have the chance. That's the bounty. We know what's wrong, and we have Baha'u'llah to help us. And imagine the hours and hours of consultation at local assembly level that can be devoted to creative planning when the assemblies no longer have a long agenda of personality troubles, marital difficulties, personal behavior problems, and so on. Think of the hours our national assemblies can devote to leadership and inspiration, to inspiring us to win every goal of the 9-year plan of our supreme universal house of justice.
Bill, it looks as though we just have time enough for those words of Baha'u'llah which you promised us.
All right, Bob. Well, beloved friends, we sincerely hope that your study class, those of you who are listening, will continue and that you'll share this tape recording with all the friends in your community and with the nearby groups and the isolated believers, and that every valiant warrior of Baha'u'llah's army will make a fresh, rededicated effort to change the one thing that is entirely under his own control, his own life, his precious life, upon which a sad, sick, and disillusioned humanity depends. May these words you're about to hear of the blessed beauty, cheer us on our way, and assure us of the victory, if only we will arise and make the effort.
Through the movement of our pen of glory, we have, at the bidding of the omnipotent ordainer, breathed a new life into every human frame and instilled into every word a fresh potency. All created things proclaim the evidences of this worldwide regeneration.
Arise, O people, and by the power of God's might, resolve to gain the victory over your own selves, that haply the whole earth may be freed and sanctified.
O people of God, let your thoughts be fixed upon that which can rehabilitate the fortunes of mankind and sanctify the hearts and souls of men. This can best be achieved through pure and holy deeds, through a virtuous life and a goodly behavior. This verily is the commandment which this wronged one hath given you, and the first choice of his unrestrained will for every one of you.
How sad if any man were in this day to rest his heart on the transitory things of this world. Arise and cling firmly to the cause of God. Resolve to adorn yourselves with the ornament of a goodly and praiseworthy character. Let your principal concern be to rescue the fallen from the slough of impending extinction and help him embrace the ancient faith of God.
I swear by him who hath caused me to reveal whatever hath pleased him, ye are better known to the inmates of the kingdom on high than ye are to your own selves. Think ye these words are vain and empty? Would that ye had the power to perceive the things your Lord, the All-Merciful, doth see, things that attest the excellence of your rank, that bear witness to the greatness of your worth, that proclaim the sublimity of your station. God grant that your desires and unmortified passions may not hinder you from that which hath been ordained for you.
Yes, all that which he potentially possessed can, however, be manifested only as a result of your own volition.
There's the secret, isn't it? Only through our own volition. And friends, finally, this quotation from the Hidden Words, the book which was given to us to guide our personal lives toward God. Baha'u'llah says that it contains all of that which hath been sent down by the prophets of the past. We have taken the inner essence thereof, he tells us, and clothed it in the garment of brevity as a token of grace unto the righteous, that they may stand faithful unto the covenant of God and may fulfill in their lives his trust. So you see, all that we need will be found within its precious covers. Baha'u'llah closes that book as we close this appeal to you with these challenging words.
I bear witness, O friends, that the favor is complete, the argument fulfilled, the proof manifest, and the evidences established. Let it now be seen what your endeavors in the path of detachment will reveal. In this wise hath the divine favor been fully vouchsafed unto you. All praise to God, the Lord of all worlds.
Mm-hmm. So it's up to us, isn't it?
You have been our guest at a study class on the significance of living the life. It was conducted by Hand of the Cause William Sears, who was assisted by Anthony Leese, a member of the Auxiliary Board. This is Robert Quigley speaking for all our participants and hoping that your discussion will continue and that as a result, wonderful and immediate benefits will come to your Baha'i community as well as to every single individual believer enlisted under the banner of the Radiant Army of Baha'u'llah.
The second half of our study class begins, still about enrolling the masses. Let me tell you a little story about Africa. An old man, I remember, waited one day on a road in Africa up in the mountains. When the teachers arrived in their car, he stopped them and he said, "I dreamed last night that a certain car full of people would come this morning. bringing me news of the new religion of God. Are you the people? Well, you tell me, was this man prepared? I mean, how long would he have to study, and how many books would he have to read before he was ready to accept Baha'u'llah? The Blessed Beauty picks out many souls before we ever get to them. They're prepared souls waiting for us, and in a flash, they accept him. The beloved master said of Lua Getzinger, mother teacher of the West, that Baha'u'llah had chosen her when she was still a child running barefoot through the fields near her home in Hume, New York. How long would we require her to study and be deepened before opening the doors of paradise to her? But Lua Getzinger was a brilliant woman, you might say. I mean, what about the simple souls, though, the more primitive peoples or underprivileged ones, the uneducated ones? Can they enter as quickly and safely? Well, let's see. Let's get an infallible answer from our beloved guardian. He said, how often, I'm quoting, and the early history of the faith in the land of our birth offers many a striking testimony, how often have the lowliest adherents of the faith, unschooled and utterly inexperienced and with no standing whatsoever, and in some cases devoid of intelligence, been capable of winning for their cause victories before which the most brilliant achievements of the learned, the wise, and the experienced have paled. End of quotation. That's something, isn't it? Abdu'l-Bahá pointed out that Peter, a fisherman unlearned, had trouble keeping track of the days of the week and wrapped his food in 7 parcels so when the Sabbath came he'd know it was there and observe it. Yet Peter was so filled with the love of Christ that he was raised to such a lofty station. And Shoghi Effendi points out, I'm quoting again now, if the Son of Man, Christ, was capable of infusing into apparently so crude and helpless an instrument such potency as to cause, in the words of Baha'u'llah, the mysteries of wisdom and utterance to flow out of his mouth, and to exalt him above the rest of his disciples, and render him fit to become his successor and the founder of his church, how much more can the Father, who is Baha'u'llah, empower the most puny and insignificant among his followers to achieve for the execution of his purpose such wonders as would dwarf the mightiest achievements of even the first apostle of Jesus Christ. Imagine, end of quotation, imagine that. Both of those quotes are from the Advent of Divine Justice, page 38. Throw wide the doors. There are jewels out there awaiting the call of the kingdom. Christ said, the last shall be first. He meant it. If they have a pure heart and are enthusiastic and catch the spark of faith. Baha'u'llah says the same. And in the Igan, Baha'u'llah makes it clear that this is one of the proofs of the manifestation of God, that he exalts the illiterate faithful over the learned opposers. His words, that very fact, Baha'u'llah says, is one of the clouds that obscure the eyes of men. Well, let it obscure the eyes of those who are not Baha'is, but should it obscure the Baha'is' eyes so we don't do the work? Impossible. And if that weren't enough for us, the Blessed Beauty, Igan pages 210 to 11, makes it plain that the verses of God are for the common man, and he uses that exact term, common man, and assures us that learning is not necessary for them to grasp the truth. Listen. These are quotes. The understanding of his words, meaning the messenger of God, the understanding of his words and the comprehension of the utterances of the birds of heaven are in no wise dependent upon human learning. They depend solely upon purity of heart, chastity of soul, and freedom of spirit. End of quotation. Do we need to hear any more? Or are we ready to throw wide the doors and to shout and to move? In the very first tablet of the divine plan, the charter for all our teaching, for the spiritual conquest of the planet, the blueprint for reaching the masses, page 11, the beloved master declares, blessed are the nameless and the traceless poor, for they are the leaders of mankind. Become angels of heaven, he tells us, and travel and teach through all these regions. I declare by him beside whom there is no one, that each one of you shall become the Israfel of life, blowing the breath of life into the souls of others. End of quotation. Become angels of heaven. Reach the masses, Abdu'l-Bahá says, and make them angels of heaven so they can blow the breath of life on the whole world. You don't find many of those angels of heaven around these days anywhere, do you? So we see why we have to reach the masses. So we can all become recreated. So we can become a different people, unlike the world around us. We must be different. Beloved Guardian said, look at the world and do the opposite and you're most likely to be right. Of course, my words, but his idea. That's why we have a completely different approach to morality. It's not just enough to accept Baha'u'llah. We must let him change our lives. We must work at it. Listen to what Abdu'l-Bahá says. This is page 21 of